Please find again 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're looking at the closing verses of chapter 3 and the opening verses of chapter 4. These are the verses that I read for you a moment ago. And I want to talk with you today about two treasures, and these treasures are mentioned here in these verses that I read. Now, as I look out across our congregation this morning, I realize that I'm looking at rich people. And you may be saying, well, I've been worried about this pastor for some time. It seems as if the very thin thread has been attaching him to reality, and now the thread has snapped and the man has become delusional. He must think he's somewhere else, because if he realized that he's here at Parkview Church, he would not be saying that we are rich people. You may be saying, if there's any word that I would choose for myself today, it certainly would not be rich. Well, let me ask you today, do you have a Bible in your hand? Do you have a Bible in your hand? Have you brought your own Bible here to the worship of the Lord? If you have not brought your own Bible, you have one there in front of you in the pew rack. Well, I would urge you to pick that up and find 2 Timothy chapter 3. But at this point, I just simply want to say to you that if you have a Bible in your hand, you are a rich person, because this is a treasure. And here I am now opening this Word of God and preaching to you. And I want to tell you that the preaching of God's Word is also a treasure. And so if you have a Bible before you, you have riches. And if you're sitting here now listening carefully to what I'm saying, you are rich, because these are the two treasures that Paul identifies for us in this passage of Scripture. The Word of God is a treasure, and the preaching of the Word of God is a treasure. Now, you may be inclined to say, well, Pastor, I agree that the Bible is a treasure, but how do you get this business about the preaching of the Bible being a treasure? Well, doesn't it make sense? Doesn't it naturally follow that if the Bible is a treasure from God, that the preaching of that word, if it's true preaching now, I mean, if it is preaching that helps us to understand that word, and if it is preaching that applies that word to our lives, doesn't it naturally follow that if the Bible is a treasure from God, that the preaching of the Bible must also be a treasure from God? So you might be more rich than you think today. I suggest to you that every child of God ought to appreciate these two treasures, the Bible and the preaching of the Bible. So we're going to deal with these two treasures in the moments that we have together. And think with me then, first of all, about the treasure of the Bible. The treasure of the Bible. This Bible is a treasure. Now, how great a treasure is the Word of God? Anyway, how great a treasure is the Word of God? Well, I have here in front of me some verses from Psalm 119, and many attribute that longest of all the chapters in the Bible to King David, who wrote so many of the Psalms. But listen to these verses from Psalm 119, and listen to what David, if he is indeed the author of Psalm 119, has to say about the treasure of the Word of God. Here's how David regarded the Word of God. In verse 14, he says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. He said, he uses the word testimonies for the Word of God, and he says, I rejoice in the Word of God as much as I do in all riches. And it becomes even clearer in Psalm 119 and verse 72, where he says, the law of your mouth. That's another reference to the Word of God. And he says, the law of your mouth. He's talking to the Lord, and he says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of shekels of gold and silver. David is essentially saying, here's how great a treasure the Word of God is. If I had to choose between all my gold and silver and the Word of God, I would be far better off to give up my gold and my silver than to give up the Word of God. Are you treasuring the Bible today? I wonder if you had to choose between your bank account and the Bible. I wonder if you would choose the Bible or if you'd choose your bank account. Well, thankfully, we don't have to make that decision, but that is just a way of driving home to us how valuable the Word of God is. Now, here's another verse from Psalm 119, verse 127. David says, I love your commandments. That's another way of talking about the Word of God. He's talking to God, and he says, I love your Word more than gold. Yes, more than fine gold. Oh, he says the Word of God is such a treasure. It's more valuable to me than even fine gold. And in verse 162 of Psalm 119, he adds these words, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. So you see, I'm on pretty solid ground this morning whenever I talk about the Bible as a treasure, because this is, in fact, how you find David speaking of the Word of God in Psalm 119. He equates the Bible, the Word of God, with treasure. So I wonder this morning if you realize how rich you are whenever you have a Bible in your hands. I wonder if you realize how rich you are when you open that Bible and begin to read. You are rich indeed. I look there into the book of Job, and I find Job talking about the value of the Word of God in this way. Job 23 and verse 12, he says, I have treasured the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food. He says, here's how valuable it is to me. I'd just as soon give up my food as to give up the Word of God. Well, we know, as we read from various scriptures, that the Word of God is likened to food, is food for our souls. And the sad fact is, isn't it? We're more interested in food for our bodies than we are food for our souls. And we would rather give up the food for our souls than we would the food for our bodies. But I think Job had it right. He said the Word of God is such a treasure that it's more necessary to me than the very food that I eat. So, how great a treasure is the Word of God? Well, it's so great a treasure that we can say it's greater than our money. It's so great a treasure that it is greater than our physical food. But that brings us to a second question, and that is, why is the Word of God such a great treasure? Why is it such a great treasure? You may agree with what I have said up to this point. You may be sitting there. I hope you are. You may be agreeing and saying, yes, the Bible is certainly a great treasure, a great treasure. Well, I hope that that is the confession of your heart. If you're not in agreement with that, may I just simply offer you some reasons that you should believe that the Bible is a great treasure? One reason that I draw here from Paul's words to Timothy is because of its inspiration. Its inspiration. Look there at verse 16 where he says, all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He says this is no ordinary book, the Bible. This Bible has come to us as a result of God breathing it out. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now make sure you understand what Paul is saying there whenever he says uses that word inspiration. He is not, as some people have thought, he's not simply saying that the Bible is inspiring. Well, it is. Yes, it's inspiring. There are lots and lots of people who are willing to admit that the Bible is inspiring who do not believe that it is given by the inspiration of God. You know what I mean whenever I say that people find the Word of God to be inspiring. Maybe they have some trouble, some difficulties. Maybe they're at the point of despair. They're depressed and despondent. And they open the Bible and they begin to read. Maybe they're over in the book of Psalms. And as they read, they find some soothing words and they feel inspired. Well, the Bible certainly has that quality about it. It can and does inspire. Oh, I can tell you that there have been many times down through the years where the Bible has just thrilled my heart. It's inspiring. Inspiring. I want you to believe that. But I also want you to believe that that does not do justice to what Paul is saying here in 2 Timothy 3:16 when he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Just as my breath enables me to speak words and those words are give me the ability to express my thoughts, so we have God breathing out words that express His thoughts, and His thoughts are, of course, true thoughts. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. That's what He is saying. Now, how is it that you happen to have this Bible anyway? There are some people who seem to have the notion that back many years ago, there was a group of people who sat down and they began to discuss one with the other. And somebody in that group said, well, my thinking is that we need a new religion. And they all thought about that for a while. And someone else said, well, I believe you're on to something. We do need a new religion. And someone else said, well, what do we have in order to have a new religion? And one other fellow said, well, everybody who starts a new religion, they always have some kind of a sacred book. So we have to come up with a sacred book. And the chairman said, well, I'm going to appoint a subcommittee to write us a sacred book. And that's how we happen to have the Bible. I say to you, that's what some people seem to think. But no, that's not how you got your Bible, my friend. Well, if you read 2 Peter chapter 1, you get a clear idea of how the Bible came to be. So, the Apostle Peter tells us there in that passage that holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God. God's Spirit came down and caught them up, as it were, and carried them along so that when they wrote, they were not writing merely their own ideas, but they were in fact writing what the Spirit of God wanted them to write. Only if you say that are you beginning to do justice to that phrase, all Scripture was given by inspiration of God. I'm just dealing here with the question. We're talking about the Bible being a treasure, and we've asked, how great a treasure is it? Well, it's more valuable than your money. It's more valuable than your food. And now we're answering this question, why is it such a great treasure? It's a great treasure because it's no ordinary book. It was not written as other books are written. This book was breathed out by the Spirit of God. That's how you happen to have it. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Now, I know some who believe that the Bible is inspired in spots and that they are inspired to pick out the spots. And what I mean by that is there are some people who say, well, the Bible's inspired over here and I will accept that as the Word of God. But no, I don't like this passage over here, so I'm not going to accept that as the Word of God. Pay attention to what Paul says. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture. He doesn't say some Scripture is inspired and other Scriptures are not inspired, and you can pick out which parts you believe are from God and which parts are not. You know what we do. We pick out those parts that we like, and the parts that pinch, we would just leave alone. But no, Paul says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This book is a treasure because it's God's book. Inspired by God. Now, it's also a treasure. We're trying to answer the question, why is the Bible such a great treasure? Because of its inspiration. Now, here's another answer. Because of its message of salvation. Its message of salvation. What is this book about? Look back there at verse 15, where Paul says to Timothy, from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Here's the reason this is such a valuable book. It's not only inspired by the Spirit of God, but it is a book about the salvation that God has provided in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what he's talking about when he talks about salvation? He's talking about salvation from sin. He's talking about salvation from eternal condemnation. Now, my friend, what kind of price tag can you put on salvation? He's talking about being saved from your sins. He's talking about being saved from the wrath of God. He's talking about being saved from eternal destruction. How valuable would you say it is to be saved? This is a book about salvation. Some of you may have thought when I was reading those verses a while ago from Psalm 119, where David was talking about the Word of God is more precious than gold and silver, more precious even than fine gold. Some of you might have been inclined to say that David fellow was out of his mind talking about the Word of God being more precious than gold and silver. He was out of his mind. Well, now, think about it again. Your gold, your silver, your bank account can't save your soul. Your gold and your silver can't make you right with God. Your gold and your silver can't take you to heaven. But this book talks to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ provides the salvation that you need to take you to heaven. Now, how valuable is this book? How valuable is this book? Well, you perhaps are saying, well, I don't know that I've agreed with much that you have to say today, Pastor. Well, let me then talk to you about something that you will have to agree with. You've got to leave this world. You've got to die. Now, my friends, there's something inside you that screams at you whenever you don't squelch the voice. There's something that tells you that after you die, you've got to go out into eternity and meet God. You know, don't you? Oh, I realize there are many people today who say, well, we're just animals. We're very sophisticated animals, but just animals. And after all, whenever we die, we're just like the other animals. We're dead. That's it. There's something inside you that protests. It says, no, you know that's not right. You know that you were made by God, and you know that you must go out to meet God. Now, here's the great, throbbing, piercing question. How can you, a guilty sinner, ever stand acceptably in the presence of a holy God? This book gives you the answer, my friend. This book tells you that there's one way that you can be saved. There's one way that you can be forgiven of your sins. There's one way that you can stand acceptably in the presence of God. That way is Jesus. Listen, Jesus himself said on the night before he was crucified, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. This book tells you about Jesus and about the salvation that you have through Jesus. Now, how valuable is this book? I think of that account over there in John chapter 6. This does my heart good. The Lord Jesus preached a hard sermon. He preached a hard sermon in John chapter 6. He talked about how that he is the bread of life and how that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to have eternal life. He talked about how he's the only way of salvation. Well, many were offended. That's the part that does my heart good. I've offended people sometimes by preaching the message of the Word of God. And I'm encouraged by reading John 6 because I find that Jesus offended people on that occasion. I don't feel so lonely now. And he offended people on that occasion. And this vast multitude just got up and walked away. And Jesus was left there with his 12 disciples. And you don't find Jesus running after the crowd saying, "No, no, no, don't go away. I'll change my message so that you'll like it better. I'll tell more jokes." That's not what Jesus said. He let them go. He refused to compromise the message. He let the multitude go, and he even went so far as to look there at his 12 disciples who were still there, and he said, "Do you want to leave also?" And Simon Peter, this man who so often suffered from foot and mouth disease, this man who so often said the wrong thing, got it gloriously right on that occasion. Because when Jesus said, "Do you also want to go away?" Simon Peter responded in this way, "To whom shall we go?" And listen to what he had to say. "You," speaking to Jesus, "you have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Why did Peter decide to stay? Well, he realized, "I'm a dying man. I need eternal life. I'm not going to live forever on this earth. I must have eternal life." And as I listen to the words of Jesus, I hear the authentic sound of eternal life. So let me have Jesus, even if everybody else forsakes him. Let me have Jesus. How valuable is your Bible? Oh, I tell you, my friends, it's this valuable. You, by reading this Bible, can learn about your sin. You can learn about coming judgment. And you can learn how that you, a sinner, can stand in that judgment. And that is through the saving work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. How valuable is your Bible? It's this valuable. You learn about salvation through this blessed book. We sing that song from time to time at Calvary. By God's word, listen, by God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. You would know about your sin if it were not for this blessed book. You would not know about coming judgment if it were not for this book. You would not know about the redeeming work of Jesus Christ were it not for this book. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you know now, because the Bible talks about these things, how great a treasure is the Bible. Well, it's a great treasure indeed. When everything else has passed away, the message of this book will abide. And it's a message about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I say, let me have this book. Let me have the Bible. A story is told about a great literary giant who came down to death's door. And he said to his secretary, as he was in the waning moments of his life, "Bring me the book. Bring me the book." And his secretary said, "Sir, what book do you want me to bring?" And he said to him, "There's only one book. Bring me the book." And he understood then, and he brought him the Bible. Oh, my friends, may that the words of that man be our words. Bring me the book. Bring me the book. Let everything else go. Let my money go. My gold and my silver. Let kindred go. But let me have the book of God that tells me about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you have a great treasure in the Bible. And one of the things I'm concerned about these days is just trying to get God's people to treasure their treasures. To treasure their treasures. Now, I've left myself just a bit of time here to talk about something else, and that is the message today has the title, Two Treasures. And one treasure is what I've been talking about, and that is the Bible. It's inspired by God, and it tells the story of salvation. But another treasure is the preaching of the Bible. I wonder if you treasure the preaching of the Bible. It's interesting to me that right after he says here, In 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He goes on to say in verse 2 of chapter 4 to Timothy, preach the word. Now, if the Bible is the word of God, then it must be preached. It must be proclaimed. And if you and I are to treasure the Bible, we must then of necessity treasure the preaching of the Bible. Why should we treasure preaching? Well, if you're not a believer today in Jesus Christ, I hope you've already come to this conclusion. You should treasure preaching because the preaching of the Bible, because it points you to the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who can save you from your sins and make you right with God. But may I also say, believers ought to treasure the Bible. Believers ought to treasure the preaching of the Bible. Why? Because the preaching of the Bible gives believers the very things that they need most. What do we as believers need anyway? Well, I think we can get a clue from what Paul says there in 2 Timothy 3:16, where he says the Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. These are all things we need. It's profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? It's teaching. Teaching. These people who say, well, I'm not interested in doctrine. Don't bother me with doctrine. They don't know what they're talking about. What is doctrine? It's teaching. Are you interested in the teaching of God's word? You're interested then in doctrine. The preaching of the Bible gives believers what they need. If it's done right, they get teaching. If it's done right, they also get reproof. Reproof. What is reproof anyway? Well, reproof is simply to rebuke us when we're wrong. And what is the next thing? Correction. It's to give us the way to get right. And then he says we also get from the Word of God instruction in righteousness, instruction in righteousness. You can't put a price tag on these things. And these things are all things believers need, and they're all things that believers receive as the preaching of the Word of God is done. Well, that leaves just a bit of time to talk about one more thing. I'm talking about treasuring the preaching of the Word of God. How do we treasure the preaching of God's Word? Well, let me just give you three answers to that. One thing is by coming to hear it. By coming to hear it. I will say to you, after being a pastor for many years, that I realize that you can be under the preaching of God's Word every Sunday and not be saved. I know that. It's possible to be under the preaching of God's Word every Sunday and not be saved. But I also want to go on to say, I doubt whether it's possible to be saved and have no interest in the preaching of God's Word. And so how do we treasure preaching? By coming to hear it. How do we treasure preaching? By carefully listening when it's being done. That means don't allow yourself to be distracted while preaching is going on, and don't be a distraction to other people. Listen carefully to the preaching of God's Word. That's how you show that you treasure it. And then may I simply add this, by praying for the preacher. That's also a way in which you show that you treasure the preaching of God's Word. Praying for the preacher. I wonder if you prayed for me today. I hope that you have. That means you treasure the preaching of God's Word. We're coming up here to the Super Bowl in a little bit, and I remember back a few years ago, a man asked me this question. He said, are you doing anything special at your church for the Super Bowl? And my answer was, yes. He said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm preaching the Word of God. Oh, how we need to treasure the Bible and the preaching of the Bible. And God's people said,